Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Empowering Word and this is Elder Sergius within the news. I will bless the Lord at all times and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My topic today is going to be words control your life. Again, words control your life. Proverbs 18:20-21, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 18:20 say, what your lips produce will fill your life. Your lips produce words. Words determine the course and the outcome of your life. You now have a will and will continue to have the fruit your tongue produces. To change your life, you need to change your words. James 3:2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Verse 8 says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. To change the words you speak, you need God's help. And Jesus said, out of an abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So you need a new heart and you will be filled with God's word. Only in that way can your tongue be brought under complete control. King James, the Bible says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. It is one of the things I want to talk about is how you put your what you say into the atmosphere. You're bringing about a change. As when we have to be careful what we say. What we say and who we say it to. Proverbs 10:14 says, the wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. Set a guard over your mouth. Lord, help me to watch over the door of my lips. And see, the Bible keeps telling us to watch our mouth. And so many times we'll get flip at the mouth, and before we know it, we don't put stuff out there that we can't take back. Because if you put it out there, there ain't no way in the world you can take it back. You can apologize for it, but it's still out there. And Proverbs 18:7 says, the mouth of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. And also, it goes down a little further, the 21st of Proverbs. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's a very powerful statement. The tongue has the power of life and death. You can speak life or you can speak death. It's just that simple. Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Proverbs 21:23, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. And again, this was just fell in my spirit because some of the things that's been going on the job, but I keep telling folks, you know, be careful what you say. Be careful who you talk to, because once you put it out there, you cannot take it back. And one thing to help us with our tongue is one thing we need to say, is, Lord, because your word teaches that the words control my life, please help me to control my words. If we live by that and say it every day, every time we, you know, get ready to open up our mouth, it would be in the back of our minds. And we would start, you know, thinking about what we say before we say it. A lot of times, you know, I tell people, think before you speak. Because a lot of times your thoughts are out there quicker than your, you know, your tongue is quicker than your thoughts. So we just need to be careful. And again, words control your life, so let's control our words. This has been In the News with Elder Sawyers in Cleveland, Ohio. God bless.
Amen, amen. And after tasting shoe polish several times over the course of my life, those are definitely words to take heed to. We can put it out, but we can't take it back. And so it's best to pray before we allow anything to come out of our mouth. We want to make sure that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts are acceptable in the sight of God. So definitely we appreciate those words of wisdom, Elder Sawyer. But I want to switch gears here a little bit, talk about something that's dear to me, some experiences that I've had recently. And I actually taught on this last Sunday in my Bible study at my church. But first, let me introduce myself. I'm Corey Buford, broadcasting to you live from Riverdale, Maryland, which is right outside of Washington, D.C. And I want to speak to you from the topic, God will get you through. You may not know how, but God will get you through. We just need to have faith. Now, I'm from the same place as the Bishop, Dr. Snyder, Jamestown, South Carolina. And quite often, I travel home on Highway 95. I've been driving that road since I was 6 years old, or at least riding the road since I was 6 years old. Well, I went home the first part of April. And as I was driving back, if you are on that road often, you know that anything between the road between or the span of 95 that stretches from Richmond to D.C. is really hit or miss. In fact, once you get to any city that's north of Richmond, it could be Richmond, Baltimore, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, that whole megalopolis, the area between Richmond and Boston is one of the most congested areas in the country. Well, like I said, I was traveling, and as I approached Richmond, I saw the signs that stated that the traffic was delayed. This was the weekend of the Cherry Blossoms Parade in Washington, D.C., so of course, several thousands of people, tens of thousands of people flocked to D.C. for that festival. So I went on my smartphone, and I mapped out an alternate route. I already knew the route to take. I just wanted to make sure that there were no jams on that route. So once I got to Richmond, I got off of 95, and I took 301 to Prince George's County, Maryland. I went through Fredericksburg, Virginia, Bowling Green, into southern Maryland, La Plata, Waldorf, and alas, I was home with no major traffic jams. The road was clear. There's sometimes in life that we can avoid the traffic. There are times in life when we can avoid the pitfalls. But there are other times when you just have to go through. It's amazing how God spoke to me through these two situations. But last week, I had an event in Baltimore at 5:30. But I also had an event in D.C. that day that ended at 4. So I guess I had the bright idea that it would only take me an hour and a half to drive from D.C. to Baltimore in rush hour traffic. And let me just tell you, I was wrong. I eventually started out on Highway 95, but that was congested, bumper-to-bumper traffic. Traffic was not moving at all. So I got off of 95 and drove to Route 1, which is more of a route that goes through the city, but that was congested. So I got off of Route 1 and went over to the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, and that was congested as well. So I had no choice but to sit in the traffic. From Richmond to D.C., I could get off the route and avoid the traffic. But during this particular situation, I had no choice but to sit in the traffic. I had no choice but to go through the situation. And as I was reflecting on those two situations in preparation for my Bible study, Sunday school, I asked God, what should I talk about? Because those two situations just seemed pretty bizarre, pretty ironic. And God led me to Matthew, Matthew chapter 8. In the Bible, there are particularly in the book of Matthew, there are two places where storms appear. There are two places where storms appear. In Matthew chapter 14, we are familiar with the story where Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. And the disciples are in the boat. And the winds are raging, and the boat is about to capsize. And Peter and the disciples, they're fearful that the boat may capsize, so they call out in fear for Jesus. It says Jesus immediately responded to them. Hold on. And he commanded Peter to walk on the water. Now, as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was safe. He was walking on the water, something that seemed impossible. But the minute he focused his eyes on the storm, that's when he began to sink. But Jesus reached out to him and saved him and said, you little faith, why do you fear? But what I find interesting about that story is that Jesus did not calm the storm in this particular situation. He did not calm the wind. He did not abate the storm. He did not abate the traffic. He did not, abate the wind or the storms from raging. He allowed the storms to continue, but he will give you peace in the middle of the storm. When you're caught in the middle of a traffic, when you're caught in the middle of a difficult situation, when you're caught in the middle of circumstances that may seem insurmountable, Jesus is right there. And there are times that he may not rebuke the storm, but there are times that he will keep you at peace and provide for you in the midst of the storm, okay? And one of the stories that I told, I couldn't avoid the traffic, but God got me through nonetheless. In Matthew chapter 8, there's an appearance of another storm, and Jesus is in the boat sleeping with the disciples, and the winds are raging, and they fear that they may not drown. But Jesus, in this particular situation in chapter 8, he actually calms the winds. He rebukes the winds and the waves. Okay, in this particular situation, unlike the first situation, Jesus rebuked the storm. First situation, he allowed the storm to continue. Second situation, he rebuked the storm. But in either case, God will get you through. What I'm saying to you is some challenges in life you can't avoid. There are going to be some challenges that, you wish you didn't have to deal with. You wish that they were over. They're uncomfortable to deal with. But God will get you through those situations nonetheless. We just have to have faith. Sometimes we just have to wait. And furthermore, there are times that we need to look for the lesson that God is trying to teach us in the middle of those storms. Sometimes we just have to wait. The book of Isaiah says that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and never faint. So some of you might be facing some challenges right now, and you're wondering where God is, and you're wondering when the storm will be over. But I'm here to tell you that God has not forgotten you. Even though he's not rebuking the waves, even though he's not rebuking the winds as quickly as you want him to, God is right there. Just hold on just a little while longer, and he will give you peace in the middle of the storm. God can take you around, over, under. He can help you to avoid situations, but there are some things in life that you just have to withstand and go through. But just rest assured that you are not alone, because God will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. That's my time. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Amen.
God bless you, everyone. This is Bishop Snyder, Bishop Dr. Snyder, doesn't matter, in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm here to reintroduce our guest for this evening, thanking Elder Sawyers and Brother Buford for what they have shared thus far. We're on for part two, Chaplain Michael Smith, a great brother in the Lord that we've teamed up with, covenant with here in the Cleveland, Ohio area, and he's going to come forward and share his part on tonight. Chaplain Smith, you there?
Oh, yes. Hey, Bishop. Thank you so much for inviting me once again to this awesome opportunity to share part two. We had a wonderful time on last week, the power of redemption and God's love. And I shared my testimony with you about my own struggles with addiction. And in the process now of God continuing to restore. And I want to share with you on this evening part two. And I want to kind of plug the topic of the power of change during restoration. The power of change during restoration. There are three things that we must look at from a practical standpoint when it comes to restoration. We must look at the power of change in our minds, the power of change in our heart, and the power of change in our habits. Our minds, heart, and our habits. And so I want to briefly share with you how God is going to work with each and every one of us in and during the restoration process when it comes to these three very important things within our Christian walk. When we talk about the mind, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." In this text, Paul quotes Isaiah 40:13 and then makes a statement concerning all believers. We have the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ means sharing the plan, purpose, and perspective of Christ. It is something that all believers possess. And so in your restoration process, you must understand that when you ask the Lord to restore, the Lord not only restores your situation and that thing that the locusts have taken from you, as we find in Joel 2, but he also imparts his mind. The mind that is in Christ is also in you. Having the mind of Christ means we understand God's plan in the world to bring glory to himself, restore creation to its original splendor, and to provide salvation for sinners. It means we identify with Christ's purpose to seek and to save what was lost. It means we share Jesus' perspective on humility and obedience, compassion, and prayerful dependence on God. In the verse leading up to 1 Corinthians 2:16, we note some truths concerning the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ stands in sharp contrast to the wisdom of man. Verse 5 and 6, the mind of Christ involves wisdom from God, once hidden but now revealed in verse 7. The mind of Christ is given to believers through the Spirit of God in verse 10 through 12. The mind of Christ cannot be understood by those without the Holy Spirit in verse 14. The mind of Christ gives believers discernment in spiritual matters, verse 15. In order to have the mind of Christ, one must first have saving faith in Christ. After salvation, the believer lives a life under God's influence. The Holy Spirit indwells and enlightens the believer, infusing him with wisdom, the mind of Christ. The believer bears a responsibility to yield to the Spirit's leading and to allow the Spirit to transform and renew his mind. And so during the restoration process, we must learn and and secure the promise that as you are being restored, God is also restoring your mind and allowing the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to mold and to fashion your mind to be as Christ. Now, in our second part of the change, the power of change in the restoration process is your heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalms 51:10. Having a clean heart requires one's change, one's to change their behavior and commitment to doing one's best not to fall back into the same habits and behaviors as before. A changed heart means that people must see Christ in you and working through you. How many times do we allow our hearts' inclinations to dictate our behavior? How many times have we allowed our hearts to get us in trouble? How many times have we allowed our hearts to move first and then we think later? How many times do we think we are doing the right thing with the right intentions and find ourselves actually ending up in the wrong? We must ask God to create a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. That means that we must be led by the Holy Spirit. Our hearts must be led by the Holy Spirit. Our minds must be led by the Holy Spirit. And in creating a clean heart and renewing a right spirit, what people see is they see Christ in us, Christ through us, Christ in our walk, Christ in our talk, Christ in our dress, Christ in our attitudes, Christ in our behaviors, simply because our hearts have now become pure in spirit because we are being led by the Holy Spirit. My prayer today is that during our restoration process, God would continue to clean us up from the inside out. And lastly, I told you, I promised I'd be brief. Want to share just this last point with you. We said the mind, we said the heart, the power of change during our restoration process. And the last one is our habits. Oh, this is a powerful text. We are creatures of habit. And the powerful text that I'm reminded of in God's word is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. One Bible commentary says that we take into submission every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That means submitting. We have to submit. And habits can often be so insidious in our lives. We are, as I said before, creatures of habit. Our reason for restoration and redemption is often based on the fact that our habits have pushed us away from doing the will of God. It can be an addiction, an affair. It could be gambling or any sin that continues to beset us, habit. But we must learn to bring that thing under submission and be obedient to Christ, whatever the habit, to Christ. That means that we can't go where we used to go. We can't have the same friends that we used to have. We can't talk and walk the same way that we used to walk and talk. We can't dress the same way that we used to dress. We can't eat the same way that we used to eat. We must desire to make a full 180-degree turnaround from our past and our habits and the things that we used to do and begin to restore ourselves and form new habits in Christ. And so my encouragement today to you, our listening audience, and my fellow colleagues on the line today, is that as we look at God restoring us, we need to look at the power of change during that restoration. See, restoration is not just God restoring, But restoration is also practical. Do people see us being restored? Are our minds changed? Are our hearts changed? Are our behaviors changed? Are our habits changed? Or do we say that we're restored, but we're really not, and we fall back into the same habits and same behaviors that we used to? And so my encouragement today is that we will ask the Lord to create within us a clean heart, that we would have the mind of Christ also in us, and that we would bring under submission and under captivity every thought to make it obedient to Christ in our minds, in our hearts, and in our habits. I encourage you today and pray for you today. And now I bring it back to Bishop Snyder as he closes out. God bless you all as you continue to be restored.
Thank you, Chaplain Smith. Well, we've had a great time of being with you on the air today. And as I close out, I would like to share briefly from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, a few verses of encouragement, a few verses of wisdom from that great book of wisdom from King Solomon. Proverbs 3 and verse 1 states, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Verse 5, we know it very well, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." My brothers and sisters, as we leave this evening, I want to remind you of one major thing. It doesn't matter the confrontation that you may get in the next week, if you get into a confrontation, and it doesn't matter who is right or who's wrong. The Bible teaches us that a soft answer turns away wrath. I encourage you today to trust God in a place that you've never trusted him before. I encourage you, as you have heard Elder Sawyers, as you have heard Brother Buford, as you've heard Chaplain Smith, we're all men of God who love the Lord God, who God has commissioned, who God has sent out to proclaim his word, be it through teaching, be it through preaching, be it through evangelism, be it through sharing our testimonies. God has commissioned us to go in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our workplaces, among our families, among our friends, in our churches that we attend and where we preach at, in any realm that you can think of, to share the gospel. But most importantly, we want you to be encouraged. No matter what you're going through today, know that there's hope and that you can still hope in God. And our prayer for you this evening is that you remain steadfast, that you be encouraged. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 states, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We love you. God bless you. Be blessed. Join us again next week on our new day of Wednesdays for the Empowering Word Blog Talk Radio.